Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns in four.
One, two, three, four.
4 minutes of nonstop Suns news, highlights, and takes on the team. Brought to you by 72 Sold. 72sold.com, where you can sell your home in 72 hours for thousands more than selling the traditional way.
Suns in four.
Yep, Suns in Detroit as that road trip continues, looking for win number 33 on the year against one of the worst teams in the NBA, the young Detroit Pistons, and the Suns wasted no time in blistering the Nets in the first quarter. Some of that coming from Mikal Bridges.
Here's Booker into the offensive end. Goes out on the high angle right to Paul in the corner to Bridges. His three, good! Back-to-back threes for Mikal Bridges.
Had Jeff Munn on the play-by-play yesterday. Bridges, three in the first quarter, Bick. 25-16 at that point. The hot shooting continued right before the end of the quarter, thanks to Devin Booker.
10 seconds to go in the quarter. 37-35 Suns. Booker will dribble off some time. Now explode down the right side, and a pull-up jumper is good for Devin Booker. A 15-point first quarter.
Devin Booker hitting the shot before the buzzer. The Suns shot 80%. In the first quarter, and led by four. I was thinking, that might not be a good thing. But they did lead 39-35 after one. That would take us into the second quarter. Bad news, DeAndre Ayton turns an ankle. He had to leave the game. That means you had to rely a little bit more on JaVale McGee, and the veteran came through.
Shamet down low to McGee. Turnaround shots up and in.
Yeah, those guys, JaVale McGee, DeAndre Ayton, getting great deep position and transition makes it easy.
47-41 at that point. Suns lead by six. We'll fast forward all the way after the Suns led by 10 at the half, 64-54. We'll fast forward all the way into the third quarter. The hot shooting continued. This three from Jay Crowder.
Ball will inbound it to Booker. 14-second shot clock on the inbounds. Booker around a Smith screen at Crowder right angle. His three is good.
Line him up, knock him down.
Crowder's three put the Suns up by 18, 85-67. Moments later, after a bucket by the Suns, they led by 20. Devin Booker emphatically made the lead 22 points.
Cameron Payne to the angle left side. Goes out top to Crowder. Right corner to Bridges. A three. Around and off, but the rebound is jammed home by Devin Booker. How do you do?
Now, what a play that was. That was, thank goodness that I was off the football game and into the Suns full time at that point in time. Because that was an awesome tip slam that you do not expect to see from Devin Booker. He timed it perfect, and he did with authority, with emphasis.
Oh, and then with the demonstrative celebration afterward. Not celebration, but
talking to everybody.
Really? If you were courtside, you had a conversation with Devin Booker yesterday.
Yes, you did.
89-67 at that point. Then things got interesting because Cade Cunningham came back on the other side, had a reverse dunk. Now, Cunningham had picked up a technical foul earlier in the third quarter. He dunks. He pointed at somebody. We don't know if he was pointing at his own bench, if he was pointing at somebody in the crowd, if he was pointing at Jalen Smith. He got a second tee, and they ejected him. And that got a lot of reaction on social media because Cade Cunningham was having one of his better games of his rookie season. But it was still a 20-point lead at that point, 89-69 after Cunningham's dunk. That'll take us into the fourth quarter, and it was just basically showtime for the Suns. Bismack Biyombo getting into the act.
Here's a pass down low, and Jackson has his shot knocked away.
Ish Wainwright with the block.
Indeed, to Biyombo, who jams it. He came in from the free throw line in midair to jam it home.
Suns led by 28 at that point. They'd win by 27. The final second sounded like this.
Solid all-around performance. You name the category, you name the subject, and the Suns did it very well today. And as a result, they get their 33rd win of the year. There's the horn, our final score. Suns 135, Pistons 108.
Going back to the second to last highlight there, the Biyombo dunk that was started by the Wainwright block on Josh Jackson.
Yeah.
Did you see Josh Jackson's reaction after that play?
Yeah.
Like Josh Jackson tried to go in for a dunk at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Wainwright blocks him, and Jackson's got a look on his face like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This game is over.
Right.
And then proceeded to get kicked out of the game himself.
How dare you attempt to block my shot, and then he gets kicked out of the game. That was just so Josh Jackson.
Josh Jackson had two technical fouls and 1 point in the game.
There you go. There's the quintessential beautiful. Just absolutely beautiful. But not for nothing, when the Suns were 30-9, I thought if they could get that record to 40-9, now they're back into NBA elite territory. They've rattled off three games since. They're also on a stretch of East Coast teams that aren't all that good. It's a good time to kind of stack.
And by the way, the Warriors are fading.
Yeah, they got beat again last night by 20 by Minnesota, and they're shorthanded. Curry's got, you know, a hand injury. Draymond Green, who's been really important for them, he's out for another 2 weeks. So the Suns are handling their business well. And I will say this, that off of the, you know, last week when Devin Booker had the run-in with the mascot in Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
That was game three of a really bad shooting stretch for Devin Booker, where over a three-game stretch against the Clippers, Miami, and Toronto, he shot about 28% from the floor. He made those free throws. He got called out. He ignited this debate on social media. Since then, he's been a different player. 35 against Indiana on Friday, 30 yesterday, and he's playing with a renewed passion and confidence. I don't know if it has anything to do with it. Maybe it's coincidence, maybe it's not, but he's back.
Because that was one of the things that came out of Friday night's game that I thought was a little bit surprising, and that was just how open he was about social media and about how that whole Mamba mentality, how people thought he was not upholding the Kobe standard of which he seems to love so much. And what he thought about that. I thought it was really interesting that the story went to that place. But then again, Devin Booker did make that Raptors mascot his avatar. So he did fuel it as well. I thought that was interesting. And I do think they're related. I think Devin Booker's kind of found new fuel in that moment, in this moment. Because these seasons, man, it's think about Devin Booker, your playoff game for 3 months, Olympics, and then now suddenly you're back into this grind.
Oh, yeah, and it's been a grind. Yeah. It's been really difficult. Going back to what he said Friday night in Indiana about the Kobe comparisons, because when that came out, people said, oh, and this guy gets compared to Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. He's that soft with a mascot. I love Devin Booker's answer. Dwayne Rankin from AZ Central posted this on social media.
Hey, I'm going to sound off on the situation. I just talk about putting things in perspective, and you know, I'm really enjoying this. I always have enjoyed social media, and you know, I check it daily, and you know, when they're saying good things about me, I don't get too high, I don't get too low on it. The only problem I have is people still comparing me to Kobe Bryant. When I told them in the playoffs, stop bringing up Mamba mentality. I'm inspired by Kobe Bryant and Mamba mentality, but I am not Kobe Bryant. And people are out here yelling Mamba mentality from the mama's house. I'll leave you with that.
People are out here yelling Mamba mentality from their mama's house.
Yeah.
I love it. And then he gets up and leaves. Uh-huh. And Devin Booker followed that up by posting like an 8-minute Instagram live video about the team getting on the plane, which was fascinating to see that much footage of a team kind of interacting with each other. And it's normally behind the scenes and off limits. So he's still into the social media thing, but I love that answer. He's not Kobe Bryant. Stop the comparisons. He's inspired. He's not trying to be him.
Yeah. Well, I think it showed how that moment broke through and kind of bothered him, that he received criticism for that. And I think he is using it. I mean, there was a different heat coming off him yesterday, and it wasn't because they were playing in Michigan.
Yeah, not solely. Maybe that had a little to do with it, but I think it's tied to other things. Mm-hmm. And I like this version of Devin Booker a whole lot. Suns continue their road trip tonight in San Antonio against the Spurs. They'll wrap it up against Dallas on Thursday, a really long road trip for five games, 2 weeks in between home games, but they'll be back on Saturday night. But the Suns now 33-9, still the best record in the NBA. Coming up next, Cardinals, Rams tonight, final game of wild card weekend in the NFL. Pressure's on the quarterbacks, and that doesn't mean just Matthew Stafford. We'll get into what it means for Kyler Murray next. Bickley Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Cardinals championship chase coverage presented by 72 Soul on the home of Arizona Cardinals football.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata talk cards in the playoffs. Now,
I was always raised on, win regardless, no matter what. We don't lose. Whether it was a race, whether it was, like I said, chess match, getting first chair in the band class, like, it didn't matter what it was. That's just the way I was raised. And then to go back, I grew up in a sports family. Everybody played football, baseball, basketball. I knew every player. I knew what they wore. I knew their number. Everything about them. So, for me, watching that growing up, I always wanted to be like the guys that everybody watched. And, they were usually the best players and usually played the best in the big-time game. So that's, if you want to be that guy, that's what you got to do. That's what you got to be.
That's Kyler Murray ahead of his first chance as a pro quarterback to be one of those guys that he grew up emulating.
The X Factor.
Yes. We've seen 4 different quarterbacks make their postseason debuts over the weekend. Some of them went pretty well. Joe Burrow comes to mind. Some of them did not go so well. Kyler Murray will be the last of this group to make his postseason debut tonight. And look, I don't think, unflappable is a strong word. And I don't know if Kyler Murray is there just yet. But I do have a lot of belief in his self-confidence going into games like this. When he says things about, being raised to win, and he's done that to a large degree wherever he's been, in whatever he's done, and he's accomplished things that other athletes have not accomplished. I mean, to be a first-round draft pick in 2 different drafts is just ridiculous. So I don't think this moment will be too big for him. But we also haven't seen a lot of consistent quarterback play over the last 6 weeks from Kyler Murray.
Right.
Now he's been shorthanded without Rondale Moore, without DeAndre Hopkins, but in the playoffs, you can't fall back on those as excuses.
No.
This is his time to shine, and I'm real curious to see what playoff Kyler Murray looks like.
Well, and that's the whole thing, and that to me is, there are a lot of ways to carve up this game that's in front of us tonight. That to me is the number one thing, because Kyler Murray is the X factor, not only tonight, in this entire playoff run, because when Kyler Murray talks like that cut we just played for you, you can tell what his expectations are. They've been drummed into his head by his father. This is a kid who has got a different kind of perspective about what he is supposed to achieve. And so this is, you listen to him, it's very convincing. He sounds like he believes he should be in this moment. Now his play has got to match that. And that's a tough thing to do at this level, but if you are really going to be that guy that you're talking about there, we're going to know about it tonight.
Yes.
It won't be a Dak Prescott kind of deal. There's a different level. And that level, you would see it tonight if Kyler Murray's going to be Aaron Rodgers-like,
and we've already
Tom Brady-like.
This weekend alone, we've already seen 2 quarterbacks elevate their games to peak playoff level. Saturday,
yes.
Josh Allen was just ridiculous.
The heat that came off that dude on Saturday, it that game, by the way, also, I wonder if people watched all that frozen breath aerosoling and had second thoughts about the pandemic and why we're in the situation we're in.
I'm raising my hand because I looked at it and wow, look how far that breath goes.
Right. That's exact. Right. It was like the perfect visual. If you needed to kind of see
social
something.
Social distancing.
Right.
That's where that came from.
We all saw that and like, ooh, this is hitting a little too close to home here. Right. That's exactly
where
it came from.
The pandemic started right as spring and summer started.
Yeah. Right. All you needed was a football game in Buffalo and everybody would be masked.
Well, and Patrick Mahomes last night was awesome, too. So it's up to Kyler Murray. Now, we see
that's it? That's a great point. So let's go back to the Josh Allen thing, because Patrick Mahomes has already won a Super Bowl. But let's go back to Josh Allen, because Josh Allen at one point in time was with a football team in Buffalo that was what? Were they 7-6 at one point in time? They had lost. They really had kind of fallen off.
They were out of the playoffs at one point.
Right. And what they've done since has been really good. And what that guy did is the kind of game Kyler Murray has to produce tonight.
Against his rival in the division.
Yes. A combination of throwing and running. There were a lot of runs by Josh Allen that night that just turned that thing was just going down the mountainside.
Yeah, top of everything, he almost joined the perfect quarterback rating group in the playoffs, which is a pretty small group. How that wasn't a perfect performance when you have five touchdowns and four incomplete passes, I don't know. The formula might be
right. Zero. Right.
But he also had 66 rushing yards. And you're right, a lot of those runs really influenced things and picked his team up.
That's now, so, I'm sorry, but the interesting thing is that when Kyler Murray did start to run more is when the team started to not do as well.
Like that is true.
The first like two-thirds of the season where we were saying, like, boy, you know, his rushing yards and rushing attempts really are
I think
down.
You've got it flipped. I think the running came because they weren't doing well. I think the running, there were a lot of urgency kind of
trying to make something happen because the offense wasn't working anymore.
Yes, that's what I think we've seen.
Yeah, because go back to earlier in the season when the Cardinals were winning a lot of games and putting up a lot of points and consistently putting up 30 points and 400 yards, the passing game looked easy at times. You take out DeAndre Hopkins, you take out Rondale Moore, that's two options, and then, you know, chemistry has been an issue with some of those receivers. It wasn't as easy. So I think Bick, you're probably on the money there, that was a solution to what was seen as a problem.
Yeah.
Now, Cliff Kingsbury said last week, hey, I expect Kyler Murray to have his best game against the Rams on Monday night. He was asked about it again over the weekend, and he followed up by saying this.
By that, I mean he hasn't been in a situation in the NFL yet where it's been it's win or go home. And so I know we'll get his best from a competitive standpoint. It may not be the prettiest game he's had so far in the league, but we'll get his best effort. There's no doubt. He's that type of competitor, and he lives for moments like this.
Pretty
well, he has played win or go home games before. He played one last year in Los Angeles at the end of the regular season. That was win or go home.
He played part of it.
That is true. He did not play all of it.
But the pretty factor has nothing to do with it. Would you rather have Kyler Murray have a great aesthetically looking game and they lose by a touchdown?
Just that look. You know what I'm talking about, Vinny? The look of a quarterback who feels perfectly at home in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to see.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, we saw a great variety of stuff over the weekend. The Josh Allen comp, that to me is what I want Kyler Murray to do, because Josh Allen ascended over the weekend and it just buried the Patriots. And there was a lot of stuff behind that victory. But I think it doesn't have to be as dominant as Josh Allen. It doesn't have to be as physical, but it's got to be just a constant barrage of playmaking.
Well, yeah, but again, you know, the difference there with that comparison is Josh Allen's still a young quarterback, but that was not his first playoff go-around.
And the Bills were at home, and they were the favorites.
Yes, they were. It's unequivocal. There is pressure on Kyler Murray tonight to deliver. I don't think he's got the most pressure on him as a quarterback in this game, but we'll get into that a little bit more later. Coming up next, we'll get you caught up on the big stories of the day. Sarah Cazell will be along with the Rush Hour reboot next. Bickley and Murata mornings, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata mornings. Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
All right, welcome into the Rush Hour Reboot here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I am Sarah Cazell with Dan Bickley.
Hey!
Hey, Vince Murata and Jarrett Carlin, a silent wave from Vince. No one can hear that wave, Vince.
Yeah. A little Forrest Gump wave.
We are Bickley and Murata Mornings, and we are now taking you through the top stories of the day, which I think there's a football game tonight, guys. The final game of
the let's go
Super Wild Card Weekend. It is the Cardinals and the Rams in Los Angeles. Kyler Murray, when he uses his legs, he can be so tough to catch. But ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck this morning on ESPN said the Rams actually will want to make Kyler run.
We know he's not a real big guy, and some people may say, well, you don't want Kyler to take off and start running. I mean, he does such a good job, you know, on the perimeter creating offense. But I think against the Rams, they do. They want to get him on the move because the Rams defense is so fast. I think it plays into their hands with him on the run. You think about it. It's why you go get Von Miller. It's why you have Floyd. It's why you built your team the way you've built your team. They had speed on the back end as well. And so I actually think that ends up being the key for them, to get him on the move.
Okay, the Rams defense wants to see Kyler move. How are you guys expecting the Rams to attack the Cardinals and vice versa? How should the Cardinals attack the Rams?
I think Bick's right on the money. I think Kyler's got to step up his game. And, you know, they don't have DeAndre Hopkins. Rondale Moore, I know people are talking about getting him back, but over the last six games that he played, he was not an effective tool on offense. I think a lot of this falls on the shoulders of Kyler Murray, whether it's through downfield passing or making plays with his legs and loosening things up in the middle of the field. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I think that's it. And it's when I was trying to kind of discuss it in abstract, a barrage of playmaking, whatever that looks like, consistently from Kyler Murray. We've seen those games before. He can be terrific. He can be entertaining. He can be demoralizing to the other team. It's going to take that. I'll be curious to see exactly what kind of pressure the Rams are going to be able to generate, because we've seen two completely different games in that regard. Mm-hmm. We saw an offensive line in Arizona hold up very well and protect Kyler Murray very well and run the football, and then we've seen the Rams just swarm and harass Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
So that's what I hope to see. I just hope to see a solid performance up front.
Okay. Speaking of swarming and harassing, J.J. Watt, so good at that. We're expecting to see him tonight, we think. He has not been activated yet by the Cardinals, but they did clear a roster spot yesterday by cutting Breon Borders. And then yesterday, Jay Glazer, a Fox NFL analyst, he said that he is going to play. Here is Marcus Golden on the boost that Watt brings to the team.
Oh, man, J.J., like I always say, man, he our leader. He was our leader when he was out there healthy. Then when he got banged up for a little bit, he was still coming out every day leading. And so I got a lot of respect for J.J. Man, I love balling with him, love playing with him. And just seeing him on the field, guys get hyped and everybody happy that he out there with us just because the energy he bring. And you know he work hard. I mean, he been out there working hard like he been his whole career, man. So it's like he really works hard. He really puts the work in every day, and I'm excited for him. And we don't know if he's going to play it. We'll see Monday, but he putting the work in, man. I got a lot of respect for him. It's an honor to take the field with him.
Can you tell that Marcus Golden is excited?
There's something. Yeah. Marcus Golden and DJ Humphries, whenever you hear them talk, it's just jubilant.
They're live wires. There's energy. That's what you hear. Yeah, yes. I totally agree. Yeah, you've got
Marcus
to have guys
Golden
like that.
Sounds like that before playing a game for a 1-14 team, though.
So. No. He's got his vibe right.
Yeah, he really does. He does. He does not let external factors impact his vibe. He creates his own vibe.
Yeah, and I'm glad he feels that way about J.J. Watt, because that's what that guy can do to the mindset of that defense. So while we are playing next to a Hall of Famer who shaved a month, if not more, off rehab to be here with us today.
So with that said, returning faster than any of us expected him to, realistically, what can Cardinals fans expect to see out of him tonight? J.J. Watt, that is.
I mean, full effort. I think when you push like this to get back, and this is something he has done before, I mean, you set yourself up for ultimate disappointment, too, for the lift that his return could bring. If something goes wrong, it could be just as much of a bummer. Now, I'm not rooting for that, obviously, but if that was more than a little possible, I don't think J.J. Watt would be out there. I don't think the Cardinals would let him be out there.
What I think is going to happen, I may be wrong about this, I think he's going to play probably 50% of the snaps.
Okay.
I think he's going to be used in chunks, but I don't think he's going to be out there. I don't think he's just going to be up 67 to 75 snaps. I think it's going to be run him in, run him out, see how it is, that kind of thing. Now, this is playoff games speak to players like J.J. Watt in different ways, mm-hmm. and this is where legends actually are born. Mm. You can spawn your own legend in one playoff game in the NFL.
Yeah,
look at Tim Tebow.
Oh my gosh!
Sorry, I couldn't help but
go 80-yard pass.
Still living after that. Yeah.
Yeah. Expectations at different points in this season, guys, have been really high for the Cardinals and really high for the Rams. Obviously, one team has to go home tonight. So a first-round playoff exit would be more disappointing for the Cardinals or for the Rams?
Well, from a personal standpoint, it'd be for the Cardinals.
But
in the eyes of the general public, I think the Rams are expected to win this game, and I think not by much. I don't think it would be considered an upset if they lose, but I do think that there's just been this crushing buildup of said pressure on Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay to do this right here and now.
The Cardinals, it's not like the Cardinals didn't bring in a lot of pieces for this run. They invested heavily in veteran talent. We saw it pay dividends. The difference is they didn't trade away a bunch of draft picks to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think the answer is the Rams. You know, from a national perspective, Bick's right. Locally, it'll be crushing if we're not talking about Cardinals football next week.
Yeah, and can you imagine if the Rams go all in to the point that they did and they're the only NFC West team to lose in the first round of the playoffs? Sign me up for that. I think some of that.
Touche. A final question, zooming out on the NFL playoff picture from over the weekend. There were some wild card games, and there were some stinkers as well. What was the most memorable moment of the NFL playoffs for you this weekend? Be it an amazing play or, oh my gosh, can you believe that this just happened?
For me, it was a tie Saturday and Sunday, and both had to do with the officials. It was the touchdown that was allowed in the Cincinnati-Vegas game with the erroneous whistle, which... Terry McCauley on NBC said, they can't allow a touchdown there by rule. Okay, they just kind of glazed over it. And yesterday, the ending of the Cowboys 49ers game was just so classic.
Yeah, to me, the 49ers Cowboys game was really fun to watch, as much as I kind of hoped it would have been. But to me, the revelation was just watching Josh Allen play in that weather in Buffalo. And just, was it 7 touchdowns on the first 7 possessions?
Yes.
That's kind of efficient.
They never punted.
That's kind of getting it done.
The only offensive possession they had was when they were in victory formation for a minute 44 with Josh Allen on the sideline.
That's so wild.
And the Patriots wound up losing 5 of their last 7 games.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
After everybody saying they were going to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, there you go. No Bill Belichick.
So you're saying it might not be a good thing to stumble the playoffs, Jared?
But the question also is how much quarterback is in Mac Jones? Because he's very good and he's a very accurate passer, but he lobs footballs. He doesn't, they're not missiles, if you will.
Yeah. When you're playing against Josh Allen, all your throws look like lobs.
That is true.
Fair. There you go.
Rebooted. We have been rebooted on this Wild Card Monday. Thank you, Sarah. Amazing. Rush Hour Reboot every day at 7:30. One of the items we hit in the Rush Hour Reboot, we'll expand on the return of J.J. Watt and the rest of the Cardinals defense and how to slow down the Rams. We'll get into that next. Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Cardinals championship chase coverage presented by 72 Soul on the home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Marotta talk cards in the playoffs. Now.
We didn't accomplish some of the goals we wanted to accomplish here at the back end of the season. I mean, I don't think that there's anybody denying that. But the beauty of it is that once you're in the tournament, you're in the tournament, and nothing that happened before matters now. Now it's a matter of going out there and performing well and doing everything. You control your own destiny from here on in. So that's the beauty of it. You can leave the last 2 months behind. Now we go to work.
It's J.J. Watt last week, talking about his return, which was deemed possible. It seems like it's going to happen tonight. Has not been activated just yet, but as of others have pointed out, and it came up in the Rush Hour Reboot, there was a roster spot opened up by the release of Breon Borders, who got a full one-sentence press release from the Cardinals about their release yesterday. But J.J. Watt could be out there tonight on Good Morning Football this morning on NFL Network. Ian Rappaport said, expect to see J.J. Watt, but not necessarily as a starter.
The Cardinals made a move yesterday. They announced the release of Breon Borders, who is a cornerback who's on their 53-man roster. Usually, with all due respect to Mr. Borders, not that interesting, except that cleared a roster spot. And yes, the Arizona Cardinals still have not officially activated J.J. Watt off injured reserve, so presumably this is going to be the roster spot. All indications are J.J. Watt is going to play today. I would expect him to come in a sub role, be a little limited, not a full complement of snaps. He is coming off major surgery that probably should have had a 4 to 5 month recovery. Instead, just 2 months for J.J. Watt, recovering from a torn labrum, from a torn rotator cuff, a torn bicep. and more after badly dislocating his shoulder. J.J. Watt is expected to be back, and this is really wild, guys. I mean, Watt was doing defensive line drills last week, even before he got out of practice. He got out of practice, no setbacks. As soon as he's officially activated today, we will know for sure, that he will go tonight.
Yeah, for me, it boils down to having J.J. Watt out there in any capacity is going to be a plus.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be. And he might not have a huge statistical game. He might not have that legendary playoff performance that we've seen him do in the past. But getting him back, you heard it in Marcus Golden's voice about getting him back. Cliff Kingsbury on Saturday, he talked about the boost that J.J. Watt brings.
You know, it's been a boost just having him out of practice. There's no doubt. Anytime he's around and you watch him practice and you know, the intensity, the focus, what he brings, the leadership, it's huge for any organization. And so if he can actually be on the field, there's no doubt it would give us a boost.
Yeah, and they're going to need all the help they can get in slowing down this Rams offense, especially the passing game. So pressure on Matthew Stafford mm-hmm. will be paramount, because when he's been under pressure, he's been prone to mistakes and costly mistakes for his team. J.J. Watt can help there, but that doesn't, you know, J.J. Watt coming back doesn't nullify what the Rams were able to do in the passing game with Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham Jr. has carved out a role for himself. He's been very good. Van Jefferson a little banged up, but he's had success against the Cardinals. And Tyler Higbee, they got four really good options to throw the football.
And they've got a couple of options at running back and not just one.
Yes, they do.
And so, yeah, so it's going to be a challenge. Our guy Jordan Simone, great Sun Devil, tweeted at us, double team Cooper Kupp. That should be the defensive game plan tonight. That's it. That's definitely something you might want to be able to consider doing. It's all about that balance, because you're going to have to get pressure on Matthew Stafford. You can't let him feel all that comfortable in a pocket tonight. So can you effectively pressure him with four guys? Well, we've seen at times Chandler Jones can disrupt an offense all by himself. Does it happen against the Rams? I don't think he's got a good history against the Rams. I think he's gotten swallowed up a lot by Whitworth over the past. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't recall huge impact games against the Rams. Maybe I'm wrong. J.J. Watt coming back effectively adds a big-time playmaker who has been shooting for this moment in his head probably for 6-7 weeks now. And so, yeah, I think he plans on impacting the game. And if he can win his matchup frequently, then I think it will allow Vance Joseph to do things to cover up the deficiencies in the secondary.
Mm-hmm. J.J. Watt's also not the type of player that would come back and ease his way in or be careful or be, you know, he's going to come in and he's going to give 100%, mm-hmm. even if it's to his detriment.
I would agree with that. He's not. I don't think he's out there to preserve himself. He's out there for one specific reason. The Cooper Kupp point is interesting. Double teaming him, how you attack him. He put up just ridiculous video game numbers this year. 145 catches for almost 2,000 yards and 16 touchdowns. 114 yards per game. He led the NFL in all of those categories. But if I'm looking at one specific thing with those 16 touchdown catches, 15 of those came in wins. He only scored one touchdown all year in a game that the Rams lost. And that was last week against San Francisco. I don't know if you can shut him down. I don't think it's possible to. He's just that much of a menace for a secondary.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it starts up front. If you can get pressure on Matthew Stafford, and that is the goal, according to Marcus Golden.
Of course you do. Of course you do. You watch film and you see those type of things. But with a guy like him, you also see him making big throws and making throws that a lot of quarterbacks can't make. So of course, you want to get pressure on him. For me, I just want to get pressure on him because I know if we do, I got a better chance to help my team win. And you never, like I said in the question before, you never want to give a guy like him a clean pocket, because if you do that, man, he'll pick you apart.
Yeah, and one thing we know about Matthew Stafford is I don't think, you know, you're going to see a dialed-down Matthew Stafford. He plays the game of football a certain way, and it works out a lot, and sometimes it backfires.
Oh.
Mark Schlereth uses the term arm arrogance. He thinks he can make every throw, and 90% of the time he can, but he'll try to squeeze it in there in tight windows,
yeah.
And the Cardinals need to be, you know, on their business to make sure that doesn't happen.
It'd be great if you could bait him into something.
I was just thinking that.
It would be really good if you could get to that level of advanced strategery.
Do the Cardinals have the experience in the secondary to do something like that?
Well, If you were going to, I think Buda Baker might be the guy. I think, yes, I do really believe that Matthew Stafford isn't going to change much, but I do, what I'm going to be really looking at early, you saw how good Kyle Shanahan was dialing up plays on that very opening drive.
Oh, my goodness. That was a clinic.
It was a clinic. Every single play worked. Everything was going exactly where the Cowboys didn't think it was going. It was a clinic. That's what, if you were a Rams fan, you would be hoping Sean McVay could get Matthew Stafford into that kind of rhythm. So he's not making those, oh, look at that window. That's a tiny window, but I can get the ball there. Yeah, I just, again, the Cardinals, they do, if they can get an early turnover on Matthew Stafford, it would be great to see what kind of impact it had on the game.
Mm-hmm.
And just how tough he is, actually, between the years.
Test it early. Absolutely. Oh, yeah? Going back to the Cooper Kupp question, Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator, was asked about that. How do you take him out of the game?
Well, it's going to help us win if he doesn't have a big game. You know, with Cooper Kupp, the volume of catches doesn't bother me as much as the yardage, you know, and explosive plays. I mean, he's going to get his touches. He's a volume catcher, you know, so he's going to have, you know, 8 to 10 catches, maybe 15 to 20 targets in a game. But the key for us to keep those touches, you know, to a minimum of yardage. You know, even our last game, he had a bunch of catches before his 38-yard reception. So it's okay if he catches the ball, but if we tackle a guy instantly and don't give him explosive plays, that's the key. But to totally take him out of the game is going to be difficult when you have to also consider the running game. You know, OBJ's having a good year now in the last couple of weeks. You know, Van Jefferson's a guy who can make plays for him also. The back's playing good. Sonny Michel's playing good right now.
Again, I'm not expecting this to happen, but the Cardinals had more success in slowing down Cooper Kupp than any team this year in the first game.
Oh, yeah.
In the game in L.A., his season lows, 5 catches for 64 yards. That was his season low. Now, he was targeted 13 times, and we talked about it last week, how he and Stafford were just not on the same page.
Yeah.
Good effort by the Cardinals in terms of pressure and the coverage that they supplied to Cooper Kupp, but that was the anomaly. And you saw what he can do in the second game. He is just a handful to deal with. Yeah. We're halfway through on this Big Red Monday. Bick will help us get ready.
Woo-hoo!
For the second half of the show with the Bickley Blast. Next, it's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.